Our theme this month is conversion, and the seventh principle of the Monk Manifesto states, I commit to a lifetime of ongoing conversion and transformation, recognizing that I am always on a journey with both gifts and limitations. Conversion in monastic tradition is never a once-and-for-all event. Instead, it's always a process of unfolding, ripening, emerging, arising, all these dynamic words. I like to think about this commitment to conversion as always being surprised by God, always remembering that God's imagination is far greater than my own. Or in David White's words, that through conversion we commit to opening our eyes again and again, seeing what is deep below the surface of everyday life. We let ourselves be moved by something unexpected, a momentary awareness of beauty or grace. Do you ever have those moments when you're suddenly caught in the emotion of a past story that you thought you had worked through already? That again, you might ask yourself. But the expectation that we somehow work through an issue and then we're done with it is a very linear way of approaching life. And I'd suggest our experience is much more of a spiral. We come around again and again to the very same things that cause us to stumble. But each time, hopefully, we see them from a new perspective. So as monks in the world, we're always on the path, always growing. We never fully arrive, and so we always have more to learn. Being a monk in the world is not something we simply become once and for all. It means being committed to the process of discovery. It's the ongoing transformation of a lifetime. St. Benedict in his rule writes, always we begin again. And those are four of my favorite words. Always we begin again. Buddhism has a similar idea called beginner's mind. We recognize we're always a beginner in life. Because when we think we have everything figured out, cynicism and cleverness can cloud our vision. Conversion calls us to a radical kind of humility, where we recognize that we simply do not always know, that we aren't in control, and that at the heart of everything is a great mystery. Only when we surrender to that kind of radical unknowing can we be transformed. Only when each moment of life breaks us open with wonder and awe are we on the way. And David White writes, what you can plan is too small for you to live. What you can plan is too small for you to live. And he goes on to write in that particular poem that the moment we begin our planning each morning, there is an opening to grace which closes, which shuts down. So when we focus on planning our lives, we miss the opportunity to discover new directions. We begin to rely solely on our own agenda and goals for life. Part of the monk's path is cultivating what I call an organic spirituality, one where we practice deep listening so we can attune to what is next, to where the energy and the grace is calling us in this moment of my life. And can I release my grip on the path that I think I should be taking long enough to hear this new possibility? It's not easy work. This is one of the reasons I'm drawn to the practice of the expressive arts. In the expressive arts, art making becomes a pilgrimage or a path of discovery, where the journey is as important as the destination, or even more so. So as I listen each moment to the creative impulse, I let go of what I think whatever I'm creating should look like. I let go of my orientation toward creating a beautiful product, and I let the journey take me where it will. And this is a wonderful way to practice for life as well. So as a Benedictine oblate, I've made the commitment to live out monastic values and practices in my everyday life. And perhaps one of the most profound values for me is humility. which is connected to conversion. Humility does not elicit much awe or admiration in our culture. It's a value that seems outdated in our world of self-empowerment and self-esteem boosting, negating much of the me-first values our culture holds so dear. Some of the reservations about humility are legitimate, especially for women. Abuse of humility encourages passivity, low self-worth, and can be used as a tool of oppression, or imparting fear or guilt or an abiding sense of failure, in an effort to remind people of their proper place, so to speak, and keeping them from rocking the boat or challenging institutions or those who hold power. We see examples of this all the time. There's also such a thing as false humility, when someone denies how good they are as a means to make themselves look even better. But somewhere in between there is a very healthy kind of humility, and the word humility is derived from the word humus, which means earth. Humility is at heart about being well-grounded and rooted. It's also about truth-telling and radical self-honesty. It's about celebrating the gifts we've been uniquely given in service of others, as well as recognizing our own limitations and woundedness. So humility means to be profoundly earthed and to face up to the truth of our human condition. But it also demands that we celebrate our blessings as a part of truth-telling. It teaches us to recognize that our gifts are not of our own making, but are gifts we receive and held in trust to give back to our communities. Our gifts are not for ourselves alone. We're called to create not just for our own satisfaction, but to participate in the co-creation of a more just and beautiful world. Honoring our limits as creatures can be deeply liberating. Giving up our demanding inner perfectionism can be so freeing. How often do I resist beginning a creative project because my fear that it will not live up to the image in my mind? But humility, just like conversion, invites me to release those expectations, those plans, and enter into the call of my gift, knowing that it may look very different from my own expectations, my own plans, my own imagining. We must have patience with the unfolding of our lives in the world. Remember, it is a lifelong process. And then we discover that we're not solely responsible for saving the world. So acknowledging our limits can liberate us from compulsions and frantic busyness and lead us toward recognizing our interdependence with one another, that each of our gifts contributes to the whole. Humility is also about welcoming in those experiences which create a sense of resistance in us. Those places, say perhaps in scripture texts, which make us wrestle, are often the ones that can bear the greatest fruit in terms of revealing our own hidden places of fear and resistance. The same can be said of the creative process. The thing we often fear most doing has perhaps the most to teach us about our own places of restriction and block. Humility invites us to embrace challenges as doorways toward deeper understanding of ourselves and God. Conversion calls us to let go of what we think we can do and enter into the possibility of this moment. Humility is deeply rooted in this idea of beginner's mind, which I already mentioned. And the poet Rene Maria Rilke writes, "If the angel deigns to come, it will be because you have convinced her, not by tears, but by your humble resolve to be always beginning, to be a beginner." Bringing the mind and heart of a beginner to our lives helps us to discover the wisdom inherent in each moment. When we let go of our desire to be clever or successful or create beautiful things, we may begin to open to the sacred truth of our experience as it actually is, and not just how we want it to be. Wonder is at the heart of conversion, letting ourselves be moved by life, letting ourselves be surprised by God, letting ourselves be open to the grace of this moment. Expectation can preclude the opportunity for discovery. When we try to reach a goal, we become fixated on it and we miss the process. Beginner's mind is the practice of coming to an experience with openness and the willingness to be transformed. Art is just one way to reconnect us with our childlike sense of wonder. And when we engage art as prayer, we can remember that play is also an act of prayer, praising God out of our sheer delight. And we can learn to take ourselves, as well as our art and our spirituality, perhaps a little less seriously. I think humor and humility have the same root words. So the idea is when we are humble, when we practice humility, we also find humor in ourselves. And I think those values are really connected to conversion, to being able to laugh at life sometimes. So thank you for spending this time with me, pondering how you might invite conversion into your own life. And in part two of this month's reflections, I'll invite you into a guided experience of Lectio Divina, or sacred reading. And blessings to you on this monk's path.